Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now grab a cup, listen up, because it attempted to marry the convenience of good coffee with an immersive luxury experience. And if you were one of the people hooked on Nespresso when it first emerged, you'll know it did offer something different. But the brand has had a mixed picture when it comes to success. While it is a household name with adverts anchored by A-list Hollywood star George Clooney, its fortunes have slowly ground to a halt. And here to tell us more is RTE business reporter Adam Maguire. Good morning, Adam.
How are you?
It's a modern invention, but not quite.
Not as modern. You think of it as a kind of 21st century appliance, an espresso machine and an espresso pot. It was actually invented in 1975. It was patented by Nestle in 1976. It was too complicated, though, and cumbersome at the time to really be made economically viable. It wasn't until kind of the mid to late 80s that they actually made an espresso machine in Japan initially and then into Europe. And if you see a picture of it, it actually just looked like an espresso machine, a standard with the portafilter, the handle thing, and you put the pod in there rather than putting ground coffee in. So it didn't look in any way unique or different even back then. And it remained a fairly niche product through kind of the 90s, maybe towards the mid to late 90s. Things started to change for two reasons, really. Nestle started signing deals with appliance makers like Siemens and Philips, and they started making Nespresso machines for Nestle, and that made them more accessible and more affordable. And then in the early 2000s, they started open retail branches of their own espresso shops, and there's now hundreds of them around the world. And that's really when the brand took off.
Right, and it's been a pretty huge success since then.
Yeah, really massive. Like, I mean, it's hard to find exact figures, but you know, certainly tens, if not hundreds of millions of Nespresso machines in use around the world today. It dominates the coffee pod market in Europe, even though there are alternatives. There's Tassimo, which is made by JD Peet's, which owns brands like Kenko, Maxwell House and Dewey Egberts. Also, the Dolce Gusto machines, which confusingly is also made by Nestle. That's another rival version. It is the underdog in the US. Keurig dominates there, but Nespresso is growing rapidly there, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there was a figure from 2020 which claimed that Nestle sold 14 billion pods a year. So that was 5 years ago. So it's probably gone up since then. And that's reflected in the fact that if you look at their most recent half year results, they made 3.4 billion euro, the equivalent of that in the first half of this year. But that 14 billion figure doesn't tell you the whole picture, because as users will know, you can buy non-Nespresso pods for the Nespresso machine, because it was patented, as I say, in the 70s. The patent on the system began expiring in 2012.
Ah, right. Okay.
So that's why now you can get other companies making Nespresso pods without getting the license or without the approval of Nestle. The one thing they do have to do is make not give the impression that they're official, which is why sometimes if you're in the shop, it's very hard to tell if they're Nespresso compatible. You have to kind of look at the small print. They don't want to have the brand too big on there in case they get sued by Nestle. But ultimately, it means there's likely billions more pods being sold on top of that 14 billion that Nestle are selling themselves. And I think in a way, it's kind of become the modern Maxwell House in terms of, you know, it's the baseline now for an at-home coffee. Like if you go to a friend's and they're not big coffee drinkers, they don't have a proper espresso machine or other type of appliance, and they offer you a coffee, there's a good chance it's going to come from an espresso machine rather than kind of the crusty.
The least you can expect.
The least you can expect, yeah. You know, the crusty instant coffee jar. And even you go into a hotel now, there's often an espresso machine in the room rather than the kind of sachets of instant coffee. It's kind of like the new baseline now for a coffee.
Okay, so I mean, look, it is a model that clearly works, but in all of these things, the format is a bit of a war, whether it's VHS, Betamax, yeah, whatever. So how did Nespresso become so ubiquitous, even to the point, as you say, hotel rooms?
Yeah, well, I think part of the success has been down to they use what you might call the razor blade or the printer ink approach to sales. You know, early on, they decided the machines were going to be cheap and the pods were going to be more expensive than they needed to be. And the idea there is you get the consumer into the ecosystem and they're less likely to leave, even if the pods are a little bit more expensive. You know, that's now become less lucrative since they lost the patent and since you can buy non-Nestle pods. And it's part of the reason why in 2014, just 2 years after the patent expired, they brought out a new system called the Virtuo system. You use a different shape, a kind of dome-shaped pod. It spins the pod around. They say the centrifugal force helps to extract the coffee better. I've seen coffee experts saying that's a load of nonsense, but it is unique enough that they could put a new patent on it, which means that you can only get Nespresso branded pods for this machine. And they'll have that patent, I think, for another 5 years or so. And it means then that they're getting all the revenue from this. Part of the reason why you can buy one of the newer, technically virtual machines for less than some of the old style pods, because they're not being subsidized by Nestle anymore, the older pods. But another crucial thing that I think Nespresso did was to make the brand upmarket. You know, I made the comparison between Nespresso and Maxwell House, but Nestle purposely tried to compare Nespresso to the cafe and what you'd get on the high street, basically.
Right, even the look of their shops and
exactly.
The add-ons,
the
like
ads,
the little cups and the
and you can get the frother,
steel saucers.
All that kind of stuff, yeah. And because it means they can charge more per pod. Like an espresso pod would cost you somewhere in the region of 50 to 60 cent a piece. Which is a lot when you think that in a jar of instant coffee, it will cost about kind of 8 to 12 cent per serving. So an espresso pod is a lot more expensive. But if you're in your mind comparing it to a 4 or 5 euro coffee that you buy in the shop, then that 50, 60 cent seems like a bargain. And that's what they tried to do from early on.
All right. And if you want to exude high end, what better than to recruit a Hollywood A-lister like the handsome George Clooney?
Yeah, he came on board in 2006. He was initially the spokesperson or the face of the brand, really, in Europe. Then in 2015, they extended the deal to cover the US market. And he's been credited with helping Nespresso to rapidly gain market share in the US in the past decade or so. As I mentioned, that's a market dominated by the Keurig, the K-Cup system, as it's known. The Virtuo system that Nespresso brought out, it can make bigger coffees, which is good for the American market. But then they put Clooney in the ads as well. And it's seen the Nespresso market share grow from 3% in 2013 to 14% in 2016.
That's the Clooney effect.
That's the Clooney effect, yeah. Now, needless to say, it didn't
What's
come
been
cheap.
The effect on Clooney's pocket?
quite a reasonable one, yeah. At $40 million, apparently, he got for the endorsement. Now, that's the figure that's kind of bandied around. There's no idea on the timeline. Is that 40 a year? Is it 40 per deal? Like, he's been spokesperson now for what, 19 years. I'd say he's earned more than 40 million off them over that time. And it means that along with some other business deals he's done, like he sold his tequila brand to Diageo, he remains one of the biggest paid actors in the world every year, even in years where he hasn't brought a film out, because he makes so much money from these kind of business deals and endorsement deals he's done. For his part, he says the money has gone towards funding a spy satellite that's monitoring human rights abuses on the Sudan and South Sudan border. He said that around a decade ago. I don't know if that's still the case, but he was putting some of the money towards it at one stage. But that use has kind of shielded him somewhat from a lot of the criticism that Nespresso and Nestle tend to get.
All right. Yeah, I think the Century is the organisation he backs there, and they release reports on, as you say, human rights abuses and the like. The pods, popular but in their own right controversial as well.
Yeah, and this is aside from kind of controversies that Nestle has been embroiled in over the years. But, you know, when it comes to Nespresso in particular, there was evidence, for example, in 2020 of child labour found at some of the coffee farms that were used by the brand. That's something the company has repeatedly pledged to tackle. But a big one is the environmental impact, because the pods are, of course, creating waste that just didn't exist in the coffee making process before. Each Nespresso pod has roughly 1 gram of aluminium. Some other companies might use other materials. Aluminium tends to be the most popular one, even with the third parties, though. And a gram might not seem like a lot, but if you 14 billion pods a year, that's 14,000 tons of fresh aluminium that's being created that wasn't being created before from the Nespresso pods alone. Now, that is recyclable, and of course the coffee inside is compostable, but I don't think too many people are splitting them open, washing them out and disposing of them separately. That kind of removes the convenience factor if you have to do that with every single pod.
Slashing your thumb open in the process.
Well, exactly. Maybe. Now, Nespresso has offered a recycling program. You can get they send you out an envelope, you put your used pods in there and send it back, and they say they'll do all the hard work for you. But by their own admission, just 1/3 of the pods they sell are getting returned to the recycling program. So still the majority of Nespresso pods are being dumped, and that's aside from then, as I say, the third party pods that aren't part of this recycling program, they're probably getting dumped as well. And I've seen a lot of people pointing out that the scheme is impractical, because it takes time, unless you're kind of really racing through the pods, to fill up the envelope. By the time you've done that, they're getting moldy and smelly, and it's not a very appealing way. So it's kind of it's technically a way of dealing with this issue, but it's probably not very practical. There is, though, an interesting kind of counter-argument on the environmental side, some suggesting that they're actually more environmentally friendly than the traditional coffee-making technique. Okay. I see your eyebrow going up on this.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out to the listeners. Yeah.
Right, so the argument goes that the biggest source of emissions in coffee is from the growing, harvesting, roasting and transportation of the beans, not the packaging. And when you use ground coffee, when you make an espresso or you make a pot of coffee in a French press or an AeroPress or whatever it is, you're often putting more coffee in than you need. You're maybe making more coffee than you want and you're dumping a lot of it. And so the footprint per cup is a lot bigger. Whereas an espresso, it's a fixed amount. It's the right amount. It's actually less. There's about 2 grams less coffee in an espresso pod than there would be in an equivalent espresso shot. So they're kind of, you know, shaving a few cent off their cost there as well. So they're saying basically that there's less waste in espresso than there is in traditional coffee making, and so the emissions are lower as a result. Bearing that in mind, though, it is hard to look past the fact that you have all this waste being generated by Nespresso and by the pods that just didn't exist in coffee making 20 or 30 years ago.
Okay. And I have seen a small batch coffee roaster who made their pods out of bamboo as well.
Yeah, there have been attempts to try and make biodegradable versions of them, and I think they're less, they work less well than the aluminium.
Okay. Adam McGuire, business reporter. Thanks very much for that on the business of Nespresso. Now, Charlie Weston will join us shortly on grocery prices. But up next, should you be allowed to leave higher tax-free gifts to your extended family in your will?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.